I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Greetings, Grapple fans, and welcome to this action-packed edition of the Pro Wrestling Index right here on the Anfield Index Wrestling Channel, the Anfield Index podcast channel. We haven't quite taken over yet. I just gave away the plans. Oh, my word. I just take a sip of water, but not Triple H style. I won't spin it all over. Honest gags, we're not looking to take over just yet. Anyway, it's me and Guy here with you, and we are sat atop two ladders, which can only mean one thing. Yes, it's Money in the Bank weekend. Are you absolutely hyped up to the limits, Guy?
I am a bit, actually. I do like Money in the Bank. It's always kind of guaranteed to be a fun match. I mean, the rest of the cards haven't been great in the past, but this, I think this one's looking quite good, and, well, we're going to talk NXT as well, but
Yeah, absolutely.
That's got to be the cream of the crop.
You're pretty much, with Money in the Bank, you're pretty much guaranteed something spectacular at the very least, and at least out of it should come, you know, two big storylines at the very least. So, it should be something to look forward to, but as you mentioned, we've also got NXT TakeOver this weekend. Now, looking at the NXT TakeOver card and over the past few weeks catching up with NXT, I think it comes as no surprise that we would expect the TakeOver to once again, as per usual, overshadow the main roster card because...
Never. Again,
yeah, it's, you look at it, I mean, it's a tight show. Again, only five matches, but all look like they could be really good in their own unique way. I mean, let's get into it. Tag team titles on the line, NXT tag team titles, Undisputed Era, Kyle O'Reilly, Roderick Strong taking on Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch. Now, you know, on paper, on the face of it, doesn't sound spectacular, but they've been building a nice little feud. There's got a nice little backstory line here. And, you know, I think this will be a really good, solid wrestling match.
Yeah, I mean, I won't lie, I haven't seen a lot of... Lorcan and God, I've already forgotten his name. I should have
Danny Burch.
There we go. Yep.
I will say with them, they're physical and hard hitting. You know, their style is very much believable, and I think that will mesh really, really nicely.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you kind of it seems cliche to say a strong style now, but you kind of see it in NXT that a lot of the striking and stuff like that is very visceral and stuff like that. You can feel it's impactful, and I think from the little I've seen of Birch and Orkin, that's his bloody name. It'll kind of suit, especially with the Undisputed Era, because that's what they're kind of famed for as well. They're wrestlers and strikers, aren't they? And obviously grapplers as well. So I think this will be again. It's NXT. We know the tag team title match is going to be good because it always is.
Yeah, it is. That's the thing, you know. NXT consistently delivers. Now, the Women's Championship, Shayna Baszler and Nikki Cross. This is one that's, you know, again, been built up quite recently. But I like the way Nikki Cross has been put over very, very strongly in this. You know, Shayna Baszler is very much the believable bully, almost like a female version of Brock Lesnar within NXT. I think they've been really smart in the way that they've packaged her and presented her. And I think this in itself could be an interesting match, as even though Shayna Baszler, obviously, at this point, is still not particularly polished in terms of in-ring wrestling.
Yeah, it's a weird one with Shayna Baszler. Obviously, she kind of did well in the women's tournament and stuff like that. And then since then, she's obviously beat Ember Moon and stuff like that in two weird matches, isn't it? Like, let's be honest, they weren't exactly classics. And the second one was better than the first one because it wasn't just 20 minutes of, well, felt like 20 minutes of an armbar. I haven't watched NXT on TV, so I've seen the highlight of where this match kind of started, or the feud kind of started, so it kind of piqued my interest there. But Shayna Baszler, she's great. I think she's a great character-wise, but in terms of in-ring, the bits I've seen, there's not that much to be impressed by, because, I mean, it seems a bit Brock Lesnar-y, where it's a bit too UFC. But Nikki Cross, I mean, she knows how to put on a good match, doesn't she? 100%. That mental style that we kind of see from all the Sanity characters, but it kind of really works with her because she's probably the only one in the entire WWE women's division who's kind of got that slightly mental style of a match, and I really like it. I thought for me she would have been probably one of the ones I would have liked to have beat Oscar or feud with Ember Moon, but. Even better if she can topple Shayna Baszler, and it'll bring something, well, very different to the women's division. This one kind of piques my interest. I think Shayna Baszler needs I'm not expecting a 5-star classic, but just a match that seems to flow well, rather have just one good spot in it. So yeah, yeah. I'm kind of hoping to see something a bit more cohesive from her.
Yeah, I've got to say as well, I don't expect the title to change hands here. I think it's way too soon for them to take the title off Baszler, especially the way that they're presenting her. But I think an experienced hand like Nikki Cross, because, you know, she is experienced, she knows what she's doing, she's very, very much a polished performer. So I think that'll certainly help Shayna Baszler in-ring as well. And, you know, if they continue that for the next couple of months, I think it could really sort of help add more to Shayna Baszler's repertoire. So, yeah, it could be interesting. One that certainly will be, and I am very much looking forward to this, Ricochet versus Velveteen Dream. Now, I remember, Guy, you know, Velveteen Dream was kind of... It was kind of like a little bit on the periphery. Then we had his thing with Aleister Black, and it was just like, there we are, a star is born. And it almost like it kind of gave him an extra added layer of confidence and belief. And he just grew this kind of aura about him. And he really is developing his in-ring style. And, you know, the showmanship of the outrageous costumes and everything. He's so unique now. He's so different to everyone else. And he's, you know, I just see star quality, nothing but star quality. And Ricochet is just phenomenal to watch. He does some incredible things. And there was a great moment between these two. Non-action. Ricochet just basically somersaulted from inside the ring over the ropes, yeah, landed on the ramp, and it was just a wow. It was a fantastic little spot, and it, you know, this, you know, really, this has got me salivating as to what this match could potentially be.
Yeah, I mean, the snippets I've seen of this feud, I mean, I saw that somersault moment as well. It seemed really special. It was one of those moments on NXT TV that it's kind of almost takeover worthy, and it's just set up a feud. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to this. I admit I've not seen Ricochet that much. I mean, that ladder match, the last one, was the first time I've seen him. So I'm really looking forward to seeing his first one-on-one match for me personally. And as you said, Velveteen Dream, he is just dripping with star quality. I mean, I think I can't remember if it was actually official or maybe one of them BS sites you see on Facebook. There was John Cena saying Velveteen Dream maybe the one who can kind of take his torch kind of thing. So since that Aleister Black moment, he's kind of, it's hard to match that. And the Cassius Ohno thing wasn't the best, but he was still growing his character. I mean, he's still only in his very early 20s, I think. So he may need a win in a big feud, but at the same time, you don't want Ricochet to lose. So that kind of makes it more interesting that they probably both need a win. But if, either way, I'm expecting a really good match. Even if it's just from storytelling wise, I'm expecting a really good match wrestling wise. But storytelling wise, that's what Velveteen can add as well as wrestling quality. So yeah, this could be one of the matches of the night if it just wasn't for Ciampa versus Gargano.
Yeah, well, I was going to say that to last, but what the hell, let's do it.
Yeah,
Johnny Gargano, Tommaso Ciampa. Well, these two, they've just done some incredible stuff together. Whether it's fighting each other, fighting alongside each other, the promos, everything, they're just nailing it. They're absolutely nailing it. Everything, you know, Johnny Gargano's grown in terms of his mic work, Tommaso Ciampa, his character, he's just got this nailed down to an absolute T. He has the audience in the palm of his hand and he's walking out without any music. I'm going to say it right now, this is special. We're in the midst of something pretty damn special, and it might not get the prestige coverage that it possibly would on the main roster, but I don't think these two would be able to do what they've done and create what they have created if they were on the main roster. So this is a special, very, very special feud. And I do suspect that this won't be the last match that they have, but the street fight, the way that they've been taking it, everything, it's just everything's been perfect so far. And I've got to say, I'd expect this to be perfect. And anything less than 5-star would have me shocked, I've got to say.
Yeah, I mean, if they had a 4.5-star match, it'd probably be a disappointment of the year. And I've seen Jinder Mahal in many matches. So yeah, that's kind of a point that you have there. If it's not 5-star, it is going to be a disappointment. But the only thing that's worrying for me is how the hell can they top the unsanctioned match. I mean, that for me was probably the best match I've ever seen. So if they can top that, I mean, Jesus Christ, just keep them two in NXT forever. Because as you said, when they move up, they're going to be proper buggered by Vince. Let's be honest, they are. Daniel Bryan is an outlier on the main roster. Gargano and Ciampa, they're going to have to build an instant rapport with the WWE Universe fans, whatever the hell you want to call them, to even get considered to be main event talent. I mean, and that's what they are. I mean, NXT, you rarely see the NXT title match get overshadowed, but this feud is just, it's just laughing at it. And it's not like we've seen Aleister Black have poor matches. His match what's his bloody name?
Andrade Cien Almas.
Almas, yes. It's been a while since I've been able to talk about him. It's gone missing. But Almas, yeah, that was a really good match as well. It just the whole NXT card gets overshadowed when these two are in the ring, whether it was as DIY or whether they're versus each other, as you said. So yeah, this, if this is a match of the weekend, someone's had the match of their life. That's all I'm gonna say.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you say, you know, these two together, you know, this is pretty special. It really is special.
I think Ciampa's gonna win this one though.
That's why I think there's more to come. I don't think this is the end. I do think it's time for Ciampa to win this time, and then we'll have a rubber match. And I think, you know, they've purposely done it. You know, the unsanctioned thing, and then, you know, a street fight. I think it'll culminate in a pure wrestling match. And that's, I think, is...
poetic.
It is. The perfect word that I was searching for, poetic, in it. And it's just... It is... This is professional wrestling at its finest. It really, really is. And it's a joy to behold and witness what these two are doing right now. looking forward to this match so much, and whatever else that they've got to offer before the inevitable happens. So you mentioned the title match, and I think it is testimony to Gargano and Ciampa what they've done, that they do overshadow the NXT championship, and that's, you know, it's you know, nothing against Aleister Black. It doesn't reflect on him badly or anything like that. It's more about what they've done. But Aleister Black versus Lars Sullivan. Now, I see this as a real challenge for Black to get a really good, meaningful match out of Lars Sullivan, who is, he looks the part. He's certainly got the size and the strength and everything like that, and a unique sort of unique features. Pretty green in the ring. This might be a bit of a challenge to watch in some ways.
Yeah, I think it will be interesting, because Aleister Black, he's obviously an elite level worker. I mean, since he's been in NXT, he's had some classics as well. I mean, his match with, oh God, I am bad on names today, Andy.
Almas.
Adam Cole,
yes.
Yes, his no disqualification match or whatever the hell it was called. That was an absolute classic as well. And we've seen even his introduction when it was the UK tournament thing or weekend thing previous year.
Yeah, when he's still known as Tommy End.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, taking on Neville, yeah.
Mm, that was fantastic as well. He's just an absolute star, and it's kind of a shame he's got the title, as I said, with Ciampa and Gargano doing what they're doing, and him being with Lars Sullivan. I mean, I think Lars will play a part in NXT when I imagine he'll get to the main roster, as we've seen with Braun Strowman. The big man can still put on very good matches and still be a big part of the show. It's just, maybe he's a bit too green. I mean, he had some very good spots in the ladder match that I referred to back with Ricochet. So maybe he's turning. But if anyone can sort of carry, I don't want to say carry, because that may hint that Lars is a bit shit. But I think he does have potential. But Aleister could probably get, what, a 3.5-star, 4-star match out of Lars Sullivan. And it will be a big moment. I imagine Aleister will win, because I think it is really too soon, and I don't think he's had chance to breathe with the two lunatics in probably the main event. So I think if he beats Lars Sullivan, that'll be a kind of a big moment of beating the monster. I mean, it was a big moment when Roman beat Braun on the main roster, so it can kind of feel a bit like that. But I think it'll be a good match. I think it'll help develop Lars as a character, losing his first match in my ideal world here. It'll allow him to develop his character and rather just not have squash matches all the time, let him have actual matches. And Aleister Black, he's going to probably topple the monster, and it'll allow him to probably go on to a new feud. I'm not sure who he could go on to after that. Maybe Gargano and Ciampa getting a title picture somehow together. It's really interesting. It's really interesting. And it's NXT. Title matches are always good.
Yeah.
I could say that to every match we've just previewed there. It's NXT. It's going to be good. I think this will be all right.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, isn't it? Even, you know, you look at the card and you can have a couple of matches that maybe aren't great, but it'll be balanced out by two, maybe three great ones. So overall, you know you're in for a really, really great show. And I also think that the likelihood is that the Gargano and Ciampa will go on last. Yeah. I mean, do you think they will, or do you know they were on last time? So do you think maybe they'll switch it around?
I think they should go on last again, because if you have to follow that match, it'll just make it feel worse. And
fair point.
And I think eventually Candice will get involved in something like that. So I imagine getting women's spots into a street fight is probably a bit too much for the match before the main event. If you kind of catch my drift.
Yeah. So it does make sense. It goes on last. But I mean, all in all, look, no two ways about it. And it's not just us buttering up. This should be a cracking show. and should certainly enjoy it. And the fact that they keep it to around 2.5 hours as well, mm-hmm. all the more. You know, it's a really tight, well put together show, really well planned, really well executed. Kudos to all involved. You know, time and time again, kudos to all involved. And then Triple H goes on Facebook and does the live interview straight after the show. So, you know, this guy's really got it switched on. He knows what he's doing. And the sooner he has got more control over either Raw or maybe SmackDown, you know, to begin with.
Or WWE.
Yeah. I think the way things are going at the moment, the better. So, I mean, let's switch over to the main roster then. I mean, I won't beat around the bush here, Guy. Recent weeks on Raw, SmackDown's been okay, but Raw has been brutal, absolutely brutal, difficult to watch. And were it not for the fast forward button, I'm not sure I could get through. I'm not sure I'd still be watching. It's been awful. You know, there's been the odd good things here and there scattered around, but very few of them. It's been really, really poor, and it's a shame heading into such a big show.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've watched like half of SmackDown this week, and so I can't really comment on what happened this week. But Raw, this was probably the worst one for me anyway in recent times, and that's not like. That's not in a string of great Raws. I mean, we did that show, what, 2 weeks ago where we were talking about Raw. It's been kind awful. Of just getting to the stage where you just watch Seth Rollins, the main event. They didn't have Seth Rollins do anything this week.
No, but that, I mean, that thing where they open the show with them all sat on ladders, it's so convoluted. Mm-hmm. And for me, you know, it's that thing. Go back to the Attitude Era. Why did it take off so well? Why did it really connect with people? Why was Stone Cold Steve Austin such a phenomenon? Why did he, you know, like just completely blow everyone out of the water in terms of merchandise and popularity and attraction and get people, new pairs of eyes watching? Because he felt real. It felt legitimate. It felt, you know, you could sometimes you could watch it and question whether or not it was real or actually scripted. And then you come to things like that. They're all sat around on top of a ladder smiling, and it's like, you know, it's sat there like gimps smiling on tops of ladders. It's just like, ah, this is crap. You know, who has these lame ideas? Just stop. You know, it's.
The thing is, you knew it was coming, didn't you? It happens every year. There's always a gimpy ladder session when it comes to Money in the Bank time. Normally they'd probably put it on SmackDown. Well, but Money in the Bank was a SmackDown pay-per-view last year, I think, so it probably mm-hmm. makes sense. But no, this on Raw, it was just like, why?
Yeah, there's ways and means of doing it.
You had the women and the men there. It was like, why? You got nothing to do with each other.
No, that's... There's ways and means of doing it. It's someone like, you could believe it, someone like Kevin Owens comes out, he can make his promos very, very believable. He comes out, sets up a ladder, climbs up it, and tells you why, you know, this is what he's going to be doing and whatever. You know, it, mm-hmm. do it with one person or maybe two people at the very most, but do it in a believable way. And it's.
They don't have to be top of the ladder. Just next to them.
Yeah, it's. This is the thing, you know, that when you look at the thought process and what's going into the NXT shows, and then you look at. The really cheesy, corny, half-assed sort of TV version that we're seeing on the main roster. It's a little wonder that NXT, you know, people are doing so well and they're going up and then they're disappearing without trace almost. And I mean, just look at it. You look at the card. we have to get into it. Off the top. Now, we've got Daniel Bryan versus Big Cass. Now, Daniel Bryan being on the show, that should be a guarantee of a cracking match. Obviously, Big Cass is, he's not terrible. He's okay. But, yeah, this really hasn't done it for me.
No, it's a bit of waste of both of them. Really. Daniel Bryan, you can't just have him in the main event all the time because he's the most popular one, but you kind of want him into something meaningful. And it just feels like cheap heat to me for Big Cass. So if you want to establish him as a heel, put him with Daniel Bryan, fine. But to have a two long pay-per-view feud, which may go on longer, I hope for God it doesn't. But if Big Cass somehow beat Daniel Bryan, I mean, it'd mean that there'd be a third match and whatever, but it's not doing either of them a favour. I mean, Daniel Bryan can't carry Big Cass into a five-star match, and Big Cass, he just doesn't have the character to kind of match the love of Daniel Bryan from the crowd. So he's kind of getting hated for kind of the wrong reason, where you see, I think we always say Samoa Joe is probably the example of the heel in the company.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Samoa Joe doesn't just need to beat up the popular guy. He can get hatred just by being in the ring on his own. And Big Cass just, it all feels a bit cheap character-wise. And I think Big Cass needs to develop in different ways rather than just getting cheap heat, and hopefully he moves on to something a bit different. I'm not sure what, but I really don't want to see Daniel Bryan laboured with this, as harsh as that sounds, but Daniel Bryan should be fighting for titles and stuff like that, whether that's mid-card or the main event probably not, but we'll get to that. But yeah, Big Cass, he needs to, I don't want to refer back to going to the tag team division, but he kind of needs to maybe do be in a heel tag team or something like that, just to get that, because when he was with Enzo, he was kind of getting carried again on the mic and stuff, like he wasn't the popular one, Enzo was, so he's kind of been stuck in limbo his entire main roster career.
Overall, basically, I'm like you. I just don't really need to see this for any longer than it has been. You know, just to take things down a further notch, to make it even worse, Bobby Lashley versus Sami Zayn. And we mentioned, you know, NXT guys coming up, and really the main roster not really knowing what to do with them. I think Sami Zayn is another example, a guy who's so talented. Mm-hmm. You think back to that match he had with Nakamura's debut singles mm-hmm. match at the TakeOver before Mania last year. That was my match of the year. Was that a couple of years ago now?
Yeah,
sorry.
I think That was
an incredible match, and that is Sami Zayn. You know, Sami Zayn in NXT was the Sami Zayn that people loved. The Sami Zayn in WWE main roster is a not as good version of Sami Zayn. And initially, I liked the heel turn, and because I really felt that it could refresh him, and he's done quite well in some ways. But the script he's been given here, and working with the
Rick, like peak Ric Flair heel, couldn't work with this shit, let's be honest.
Yeah. Look, Bobby Lashley's a charisma vacuum. There's no two ways about it. I'm sorry, he's big, he's impressive, he's legit, he's skillful, but he's a charisma vacuum.
Did you fast forward their segment this week?
I haven't even bothered watching any of it this week. It's to that point.
Sami Zayn set up an obstacle course.
It
looked pretty shit on 16 times.
Yeah, like, in what world is this the best use for Sami Zayn? I mean, if you an obstacle course, if that's what you think wrestling fans want to watch on a pro wrestling show each week, you're fired. I'm sorry, but you're fired. If that's the best you can come up with, go find another job, because this is clearly not the line of work for you.
Yeah, absolutely. The thing is, it's wasting Bobby Lashley as well.
Did they think he was going to get a big reaction when he came back? Because if they did, then they would have been disappointed, because I think the reaction was mediocre at best. It was surprise. Certainly we were shocked and surprised, but it wasn't a big thing, because he never was a big thing. He's not an elite level talent in any shape or form, I'm afraid that's just the way it is, and it doesn't help Sami Zayn one bit. In fact, the opposite. It's just harming him. And I'm sure this match in itself will be pretty decent.
More optimistic than that.
I do think it'll be decent. You know, like you say, like, look, Lashley does have skills, and Sami Zayn's a great performer. I think they'll have a decent match, but it'll be short and it'll be pointless, and no one cares. And just end this right now.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's a squash match. I really wouldn't. If they're this determined on burying Sami Zayn from existence, I reckon Bobby Lashley could win this in like under 30 seconds.
Jesus Christ.
I wouldn't be surprised. I hope it isn't. I hope they have, I don't know, 10 minutes, 15 minutes probably. 15
yeah, I don't think that. I think 8 to 10 minutes.
8 to 10 minutes, yeah. We all know Bobby Lashley's going to win, because if Sami Zayn wins, I mean, Bobby Lashley's going to be even shitter. But wrestling fans, I imagine most of them would be like, oh, Sami Zayn, he maybe not a main event talent. If he connected with the fan base in a certain way, maybe a main event level talent, but he should be in the mid card.
Yeah, Sami Zayn is becoming.
Would be fucking awesome.
Yeah, I was going to say, Sami Zayn is becoming the successor to Dolph Ziggler. You know, from being popular and people really wanting him to get over and get popular, to him being beaten into oblivion so much that you just don't care anymore.
So does that mean no matter how good you are, the Team Dream's going to come up and form a tag team?
Well, yeah, this is a thing. I think for Velveteen Dream, just stay where you are for this time being, yes. Because I wouldn't trust them with him in the main roster, along with many, many others.
All of them.
You know, from thinking that'll be a decent match to what I think will be potentially the worst match. I do think as a contender, but I think this will potentially be the worst match on the card. Of course, it could be none other than Jinder Mahal taking on Roman Reigns. And Roman Reigns, he's very good now in the ring, but Jinder Mahal is bloody awful. Mm. And this feud is bloody awful as well.
I'm going to be short and sweet with this one, Andy. It's going to be shit. I could not give a crap about either of them at the minute. Roman Reigns, Brock and him, it just sucked the life out of Roman Reigns completely. And putting him with Jinder Mahal, why?
I concur.
Yeah,
I concur.
It's ruined Roman. He was never getting popular with the fans anyway, but it's ruined what he was. And Jinder Mahal, I don't know why. I don't know why it's in the company. I know I said that was short and sweet, but Jinder Mahal, man. Just, I don't get it. But yeah, this is going to be awful. And when you said one of the worst, it's between this match and the Carmella match, let's be honest.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. There's our next one. Because
who can carry more, Asuka or Roman?
That's how bad is, you know, she must be bad if Asuka's in the match. You know, Asuka, arguably the best female wrestler in the company, could be in line for could be in contention for the worst match of the night. Yeah, she's taking on Carmella. And who is just shrieks, shrills, lots of shouting, squealing, hair pulling, slapping, and not really much else. She's a throwback to the Divas era.
Yeah, I mean, I literally couldn't put it better myself there, Andy. It's It's not being annoying to get heel heat and stuff like that. It's just being annoying to
It's just being annoying.
It really is. And if she beats Oscar, whether it's dodgy, clean, or what, I mean, she beat Charlotte clean the other fucking month. Jesus. God, I the shivers. But yeah, if Asuka doesn't come out with this as the champion and then the rematch is on SmackDown and then that's done, I'm going to be seriously disappointed. Because the women division's been dead on that show. As soon as Carmella won, it's been dead.
I think the only other possibility, the only other way out of this for them is if the women's Money in the Bank match takes place before this match. Mm-hmm. And then we get an instant cash in during the match.
As long as Carmella doesn't have the championship, what?
but in terms of Asuka winning the title, I think that is the that's the only possible get out from them.
Yeah.
Otherwise, if you have Carmella somehow going over Asuka, I mean, it's just, oh my word, it's.
It'll go straight on the fast forward list.
Yeah, they're talking about winning and losing. You know, wins and losses are not important in wrestling. They are because it's perception. And it's perception of characters, whether you should believe in them. And it's nobody has anything invested in Carmella, but there's people do have stuff, you know, plenty invested in Asuka. So get behind her, make the most of it. So, what about the other women's title match, the Raw Women's Championship match, Nia Jax, Ronda Rousey? I hate how they kind of threw this one together. I absolutely despised and detested with intense passion the absolutely lame segments that they did with Ronda Rousey, making her just another performer doing crappy backstage segments. This just, you know, we spoke, didn't we, about Nia Jax becoming almost like a female version of Big Show, you know, week to week, you don't know whether the heel baby face flip flopping back and forth. This is just fills me with dread.
Yeah, it was never going to be the best build and stuff like that. Hopefully they can redeem it in the match. I'm not expecting anything because, well, Ronda Rousey, she's only had one match where she was surprisingly great, let's be honest. But Nia Jax, well, Ronda Rousey's probably had the same amount of good matches as Nia Jax has.
Oh, that's harsh.
Which is brutal, but can you think of a great Nia Jax match?
Well, that's, I mean, she's, I do think she's improved as a performer. I just think for the way to build this was a bit straight out a challenge, you know, and it's built more as a sporting contest, you know, legitimate sporting contest. Yeah. And I think that in itself would have been more believable. You know, you've got, obviously, you've got Ronda Rousey with all her background, and Nia Jax of that size and that strength and the way she's being portrayed, it didn't need anything else. It didn't need convoluted shit storylines. It just didn't need it.
I think the most interesting thing about this, and it's not the match itself or Nia Jax being champion, but do you think Ronda Rousey's ready to carry the title? Because I imagine the building towards Ronda versus probably Charlotte, let's be honest. Whether that's at WrestleMania, but could we see that at SummerSlam? Do you think that'd be a bit too soon for it?
I don't know. Again, this could be another one in that category of depending where it is on the card. They could, again, you know, if they decide to walk the show with the women's Money in the Bank ladder match, that then throws up the possibility of does they get out with either of the other two championship matches, you know, so that Asuka or Ronda Rousey are protected from, you know, that perception of being beaten. So,
God, imagine if Natalia cashed in to fucking confirm the shit story.
Lana.
Oh, God. I mean, say if Ember Moon got involved, that would be kind of interesting. Because I imagine Charlotte Flair would stay on SmackDown, or SmackDown would proper die. But no, I mean, it would be interesting to see if one of the Raw women cashed in on Ronda, give her a first loss, and then maybe the air of invincibility is kind of, not lost, but it's kind of dented. If Ronda loses this, well, maybe if she lost by Nia running off or getting disqualified or something, it kind of makes sense, but it'd be kind of weird seeing Ronda Rousey not win this soon on.
I'm with you. I think it feels a little soon. So who knows? And in a way, that's a good thing. You know, that the unknown side of it is, you know, it feels too soon for them to put the title on her, but they might well do it. So, you know, when you think of her star power and what she'll attract, maybe they've just decided that Nia Jax hasn't.
The people behind the scenes know how well she's doing.
I mean, maybe they've just felt that Nia Jax hasn't quite sort of had the impact that they'd hoped as champion, so that they're going to go with the Ronda route, no pun intended there, the Ronda route, you know, very early on. So, well, I guess we'll just have to wait and see. What about the SmackDown Tag Team Championship match then? Bludgeon Brothers taking on Gallows and Anderson. Can you see a title change here? Because I'll be honest, I can't.
No, I think it would be very premature, because I think the tag team titles have kind of took a back seat since all the new ones have came in and stuff like that, and then there's been the Money in the Bank build. The Bludgeon Brothers really haven't had a chance to show anything on TV, and I don't think giving the titles to the club would fix anything, really. I think they'd probably just end up going in the same position as the Bludgeon Brothers, where they're kind of in the background a bit too much. So I think Bludgeon Brothers really need a feud which has decent TV time, whether that's the much non-existent Sanity, which I've been really wanting to see versus Bludgeon Brothers. That may be the spot where you think, okay, you can build on that. You can give them good TV time, and it will be interesting. Whereas the club versus the Bludgeon Brothers, it's not going to get a fair build on the pay, on the Money in the Bank pay per view card. So, no, I think Bludgeon Brothers will keep the titles. I think this is on the pre show, so it might get decent time, whereas it'd probably be lost in the card otherwise. So, I think it'll be a good match, but I imagine not many people will see it.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Yeah. Mixed in between 45 minutes of videos promoting the show we're about to watch, which the videos then get repeated throughout the show. Yeah. Anyway, enough of my personal pet peeves. Seth Rollins versus Elias. Now, there's where we Intercontinental Championship on the line here. Seth Rollins is absolutely on fire. I think this is Seth Rollins finally back to the level Seth Rollins was at before the knee injury. And not only that, I think Seth Rollins has really arrived as a babyface now. You know, that you hear the reactions, the crowd, you know, getting louder and louder, singing that Burn It Down when his music hits. I'm expecting pretty big things for this match. Elias has developed a lot. I think they need to do something a little bit different with him, though. I know it's going to seem like sacrilege me saying this, but I'm getting a little bored of the little, you know, Elias singing segments every week. I don't know. I just think he needs to mix it up a little bit more.
It'd be good if he had like some matches. That'd probably help mix it up. It is. I don't want to say stale, because I think it's just kind of being overused. Well, that is stale. But I think he is kind of just being a bit overused in that regard, because he used to kind of just come on, be part of the Miztourage and stuff like that, and kind of be a secondary character. And I think with this feud with Seth Rollins, it's not had the longest build, but I think he's kind of stepping away from secondary character into a mid-card player. And I don't know how old he is, but he's only been on the main roster for a little amount of time, so I imagine he's young enough to develop possibly into main event talent, but it's really too early to tell that. But I'm really looking forward to this match. As you said, Seth Rollins is the best thing on the main roster and probably one of the best things in the company. And this is probably, we'll probably get into it, but spoiler, this is my pick for match of the night. Not of the weekend, obviously, but for the actual main event, main roster pay-per-view, this is my pick for match of the night, because every time I pick AJ and Nakamura, it's shit.
I like your thinking.
Yeah, so this is my pick. Maybe Elias isn't the most polished worker, but he can tell a bloody story in a match. I think he can have a good match. I think we've seen it on Raw.
I think he can, yeah. I think he's certainly solid in the ring.
Yeah.
It's you know, like you said, you know, the stumbled upon a good thing. He kind of developed it himself. He got himself over. they're like, wow, this is popular, you know. And but it's that old adage, you know, we like steak and chips, but we don't have to have steak and chips for tea every night.
Sometimes you can just come out and have a match, can't he?
Yes. Or sometimes he even just come out and be like, you know, if they're not going to be quiet, that's it. He puts his guitar down, he storms out. I'm not singing. Yeah. You're not worthy of me singing. You know, it just has to do that a few times.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, for me, that's all things like that, rather than actually coming up with a new song every week, you know, to get the GP against whatever town he's in. So, yeah, I think they really now got to develop his character, move it on along a bit. I'm like you. I do think this will probably end up being, it's certainly singles in a pure wrestling match, because I know the Money in the Banks can be spectacular in different ways, but in pure wrestling, you'd expect this to be match of the night on this card.
Thing is, Andy, I could see Elias winning. And people may not like that, but I think they could develop this into a really good feud. Maybe it's only a short title run for Elias, but as you said, his popularity has been building, and I think Vince obviously, like, it's not a Rusev situation. I think Vince obviously likes Elias because he does get a lot of TV time.
Mm.
So I could see Elias winning, and they could do this as a feud because it just, and that doesn't stop Seth Rollins carrying the show either.
No, so that's potential. That could be a good point.
I could see Elias winning. Now that I've said that, Seth Rollins is probably just going to win very easily. But I'd be really interested to see Elias as a champion.
Yeah. Before we get to the Money in the Bank matches, then it's AJ Styles, Shinsuke Nakamura for the WWE Championship, a last man standing match. I like the way this feud between the two of them has developed. I do like the whole Nakamura heel turn. I think this has been about the best thing on SmackDown. These two, you know, bit by bit, they're really growing and developing. They've been improving. The matches have been getting better and better. And I know, having seen them before, I know these two are capable of having an absolutely unbelievable knock it out of the park match. So it feels as though they've been holding stuff back and perhaps some of the agents are not been helping too much. But I do wonder whether or not this has to be the point of no return with Nakamura, where the title's got to change hands. Otherwise, you know, what are you going to do with him?
Yeah, I think we predicted Nakamura should probably win it every time we've done this match. But if he doesn't win it this time, he's going to fade into mid-card obscurity and probably end up back in Japan, let's be honest.
And that would be a waste. And not only that, but I think AJ Styles probably, I think that freshening up for him would probably help him, you know, chasing the title again rather than actually holding it.
He's definitely been the weaker character in this feud, hasn't he? Nakamura's, Nakamura's definitely been the stronger character whilst he's been a heel. And yeah, I think a title change could be good for AJ as well, and it would freshen up, because we don't want SmackDown turn into it, well, with Jinder Mahal, Jesus, I would have prayed for AJ to get the title there, but when SmackDown's panic, I don't want them to just go, oh, give AJ the title. I don't want it to be kind of like a Cena situation, if you get me. I want someone else to be able to carry the title. I know there's Brian, there's Joe, there's whoever. But I want to see Nakamura given a shot with the title and see how it goes. Because as you said, his heel turn's been really good and one of the best things on the weekly television.
So I think
he deserves it, even if it is just an experiment on WWE's part. But I think it'd be worth a run, because I imagine a month long run? It's not going to do any damage to SmackDown.
Yeah, even 2 to 3 months. It could be 2 months, and you could end it at SummerSlam if it's that bad. It just gives it something, a different impetus, a different angle on everything, and maybe throws in, you know, opportunities for different people to chase the champion rather than heels chasing the babyface. We could have some baby faces chasing the heel. So it's just something a little bit different and shakes up their whole feud if you want to keep that going as well. So, I do think the title change at this point logically would certainly make sense. and would be good for both involved as well. So let's hope we get.
So that's AJ winning.
Yeah, let's just hope we get a really good match on them anyway.
Yeah, that, I think that's the biggest thing. They need a proper. They've been getting better, as you said in the intro to it, but this one needs to be very good.
Yeah. Right, last two matches on the card then. Women's Money in the Bank ladder match is Ember Moon, Charlotte Flair, Alexa Bliss, Becky Lynch, Natalya, Lana, Naomi, and Sasha Banks. With most involved in there, there's a few that are a bit meh, but most of them involved in there, I honestly can see 4 or 5 potential winners from this. And that for me is a good thing. And not only that, but the skill level involved, these are all polished performers, well, apart from Lana. And let's be honest about that. Whatever, Natalya might not be the most interesting character, but she's very, very much polished in the ring. And she's the one who, basically works with all the up and comers as well. They all love her to bits because she's helped all of them. You know, she knows what she's doing. Naomi, a good athlete, she's quite athletic and whatnot. But she can still have some decent matches. So I think in terms of match quality and spots, I think they'll be looking to really make a statement here. And I think there's plenty of talent involved in this, that this could be quite a memorable one.
Yeah, I mean, well, it can't be worse than last year's women's one, can it, Andy? With Ellsworth winning. Oh, God.
I had erased that from my memory. Thanks for that.
Yeah. And then they did the rematch on SmackDown. but it can't be worse than that. But no, I think it will be interesting. I think the most interesting thing is you could probably see most of them winning it apart. Well, I was going to dispel Lana possibly winning it, but worse stuff's happened.
Carmella has a briefcase in her hand.
Yeah, I think all of them could win it. But for me, I think, although she wins everything in the women's division, I think Charlotte Flair probably win it, because I think they want to eat. I think they want the availability to have Charlotte versus Ronda Rousey at all times, and having Charlotte, I imagine they could challenge both champions with the Money in the Bank briefcase, considering it's a neutral show now. So I imagine that's how it would work. So maybe once it gets to Royal Rumble or whatever, if Ronda's still champ, you could easily have a cash in and rematch at WrestleMania. So I think Charlotte will win it because it just opens up so many doors storyline wise, even if it is with Asuka rather than Ronda.
Yeah, that absolutely makes sense. It just makes sense. And like you say, you look through the list and there are other percent, you could make a case for so many, and you think, you could see them winning. Maybe Becky Lynch and having a bit of a character turn on her. Certainly you could see Alexa Bliss carrying a briefcase. It could be an interesting thing for Ember Moon or even Sasha Banks. So it is certainly possible. Or even Natalya, like you said, if Ronda wins, then Natalya, and we've got this whole situation there, the friends and whatnot. There's a case to be made for most of them. So I think that in itself makes it interesting. It's not a giveaway. It's not predictable. So let's hope it's a good one. And finally is the men's Money in the Bank ladder match. We've got Braun Strowman, Finn Balor, The Miz, Rusev, Bobby Roode, Kevin Owens, Samoa Joe, and a member of The New Day. I'm not too keen on that bit, but less potential winners in this one, I feel, much less.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. I mean, you can't see the New Day member winning. No. You can't see Bobby Roode winning.
Nope. Bobby Roode needs to turn heel, unless they give him it and it's a heel turn.
I think the damage is done in terms of main event for him. Especially on Raw.
Unfortunately, I totally agree.
Yeah. If he was on SmackDown, maybe, but no, Raw and Brock, never.
No.
I think I could see everyone else winning. Rusev, because he's on SmackDown.
I can't see Rusev winning. I struggle to see The Miz winning as well.
I'll get onto the Miz. I think we could see Rusev winning because they may want to fuck over the fans that one extra step and have him fail a cash in. You know what I mean?
You think Vince is that vindictive?
Yes, he is. He's a dickhead. But at the same time, if he is making them money by selling merch, if they want to just propel him into the main event, this is the way to do it.
Mm.
And I could see The Miz winning, because if Daniel Bryan goes into the main event, say if Nakamura wins and then his AJ Styles thing's finished, Daniel Bryan is the natural face to go fight Nakamura. And then if Daniel Bryan beats Nakamura, which is impossible.
See, I don't think The Miz needs to have a briefcase, because they've got that history. They can already have that feud anyway. And personally, Miz is just, he's a mid-card player.
Mm.
You know, he's an upper mid-card player. And I think, you know, sadly, that's going to be the case for Rusev and Bobby Roode as well. You know, the way that they've been put is that's how that they are. So it's, I can't see Braun Strowman winning it either, because it doesn't fit with the character. So for me, it's down to Finn Balor and the potential for a character change for Finn Balor as well. Kevin Owens, obviously, it would fit perfectly with his character, and he, you just know that week on week it's going to be interesting, and some of the promos are going to be a delight with him carrying that briefcase. And Samoa Joe, absolutely. You know, probably walk in the ring, smash it over the head with a briefcase, then cash it in.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the ones you've mentioned there, that they're probably the most likely, in terms of odds wise, but I'm going to pick The Miz to win it, Andy. I'm probably a bigger fan of him than you, but I think they may see that Daniel Bryan feud as the feud that's probably deserving of a main event. And I know you say Miz is a mid-carder, and probably I think that is his perfect spot, but if they want Daniel Bryan to be announced back as a main event player, why not put him against his nemesis? It may not be the greatest feud ever, but from a storyline wise, it'll probably be the best thing they could do for Daniel Bryan.
Mm, yeah, like I say, I just don't think it needs a briefcase. I think they've already got the history. They just don't need that. They could have a really good feud without a title or without a briefcase, without any, they don't need a gimmick or a strap or anything. They can just have a good feud because they've got that history.
No, I could see both. I think that's my point. I mean, it's just, I think it just depends how quickly they want Daniel Bryan back into the main event. But this is not his year, and maybe they rebuild him or build him back in the main event after next year's WrestleMania, or building towards WrestleMania, then they could have the Miz feud. Probably not over a mid-card title, because as you said, it doesn't need a title. But if that's one of the main events of SummerSlam, that would probably work.
Yeah, I can actually see them two involved at SummerSlam anyway this year. I think I can just see that happening. So it's either way. Look, I think there's certainly enough within this match. You know, obviously, you know, you see what Samoa Joe brings, what any of the New Day bring. You don't see them winning it, but in terms of talent, and obviously in Finn Balor and the different sort of elements that Braun Strowman adds, and Kevin Owens as well, that this should have some really great spots, and again should be a really memorable match. And let's just see what happens. But this is the interesting thing with Money in the Bank, is there's so many different permutations, there's so many different potentially interesting storylines to come out of it. So, you know, as we said, look, we don't expect this to be on quite the same level aesthetically as the Takeover show. You know, we expect Takeover to outshine Money in the Bank as a show, but coming out of it, you know, we should have a really good weekend. You know, a cracking show on a Saturday night, and a very interesting show that's setting up interesting storylines on the Sunday.
And the World Cup.
Oh God, and the World Cup. Yeah.
No, but I think it'll be a very good weekend. Normally the NXT show kind of just pisses all over the main roster, whereas I think this one it's kind of a bit more balanced. I mean, Ciampa Gargano's probably going to top everything, let's be honest.
Yeah.
But this will probably be the closest one, because you've got Ronda making her a singles debut, so that's a big moment. You've got Money in the Bank matches, which are always a big moment. And you may have a new WWE May. I'm going to stick with May. May have a new WWE champion. So this could be a really, really like eventful card.
Yeah, it certainly could be. And before we go, here's a shout for you then. You've mentioned the World Cup. What about we have something like Harry Kane inserts himself into Money in the Bank, wins the briefcase, and then he cashes it in the World Cup final?
Oh, God, he's still fucking up.
I throw my daughter's life, I won with Money in the Bank, found where.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear, Andy.
Right, so there you go, folks. Anyway, there's your full weekend of WWE-inspired action. Like we said, it should be a cracking weekend. Certainly Saturday night promises to be spectacular. We'll be back next week to run down both the cards and give you our thoughts on what we've seen. Hopefully more will be back with us next week. We're expecting more back next week, aren't we, Guy?
I believe so. That's not confirmed, but
no.
Ramadan's finished, hasn't it? Yeah, so I think he should be more free. Now we just got to figure out everyone's work schedules, and then we'll see who's back. But I'll be back.
We'll do it. We'll
I'll be about.
Yes, we'll somehow bring it all together anyway for you guys. We'll bring it all together. And there you go, folks. So, yeah, looks like it should be a cracking weekend. And we'll be back with you next week to look back on it all. But until then, from my good friend Guy Drinkle and myself, Andy Wills, it's thanks to each and every one of you for listening. This has been the Pro Wrestling Index. Bye-bye now.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.